Good morning and welcome to the fifth Sunday of Lent at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We want to thank Mr. Joe Davis for providing our service today. I want to assure everyone that we will continue to follow the North Carolina recommended guidelines, North Carolina Synod recommended guidelines. We will also follow Mr. Roy Cooper and his executive orders. We want to congratulate Leanne and Chad Brinkle on the birth of Amelia Catherine Brinkle, born on March the 20th. The grandparents is Tracy and Rex Everhart. Our birthdays for today are Kim Troutman, Catherine Varner, Susan Varner, Nancy Curry, Freddie Fulbright, and happy anniversary to John and Susan Lohr. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who in his rich mercy loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ, by the grace you have been saved in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Also with you. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The children would like to come forward for the children's message. And we'll come right up here to the front so that you guys can see the screen there. And Chip's going to play us a video. Okay? So what we have there, we have a cocoon when it started out there. So what insect do you know makes a cocoon? A caterpillar, that's right. And that caterpillar made its cocoon. And that cocoon ends up being called a chrysalis. Okay? And that's what wraps around them. And you saw what happened. It gets transformed into a butterfly. And those were monarch butterflies. Okay, and they're called monarch butterflies because, you know why? Because it looks like they have a crown, okay? And the way their markings are. So it's the royalty of the butterflies. So what we have today in our lesson is the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick. He fell ill. And Jesus was not in Bethany. He was with his disciples outside of Jerusalem. Message got to him that his friend Lazarus was ill. And Jesus said, yeah, he is. Later they got word, he stayed a couple more days. He got word that Lazarus was dead. And he told his disciples, he's not dead, he's asleep. But to Jesus, the word sleep means ready to transform. For us, the word sleep means we're just taking a nap. It's temporary, and we're going to come out of it. But we're going to hear in the scripture today, in the gospel, that Jesus meant, as he was saying that Lazarus was asleep, yes, he was dead. so that he could use it as an opportunity to show that he could transform death into life. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about that with Jesus. So this is sort of the story of Lazarus is a forerunner of Jesus' death and his resurrection. Okay, so just like that beautiful butterfly, it started out as a caterpillar, and then it went to sleep in that cocoon. It was being protected, being transformed, and born again, just like we will because of Jesus Christ. Pray with me now. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunities you give us. And we thank you especially for giving us a chance to transform our lives. That even though we may face a physical death, that means new life in you. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys.
The first reading today is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verse 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come with the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon those slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I shall place on your own soul. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities.
The second reading is from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 6 through 11. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, though, through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. After having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good morning. Last week, we talked about Jesus saying, "I am the light." This week, he says, "I am the resurrection and the light." As I was preparing for the sermon today, researching, reading, and things like that, I found something that I believe explains it a little bit better than I could in my words. So forgive me for reading more today. This is from a site called 10 Minute Messages. And it is a monologue, narrative sermon written for Lazarus speaking to you. I was asleep. Well, actually, I was dead. I heard later that Jesus had said that I had fallen asleep. That's not really a bad description, though. It was like being asleep. You see, I had been very sick, and then I died. It was a relief that the pain and fever were gone. But I was afraid. I was afraid of dying. I was afraid that as death approached and the pain and sickness would be worse, and I didn't want to be cared for. I wanted to care for myself. But I couldn't. But I was afraid of more than the pain and indignity. I was afraid of death itself. I was afraid of slipping into endless darkness. Now, I'm Jewish, as you know. Some of the priests and scribes, they believe there is no life after death. These people are called the Sadducees. I understand that in your time, there's a terrible joke about this. How did the Sadducees get their name? Well, they don't really believe in life after death, so they're sad, you see. I hope your rabbi or your pastor doesn't tell jokes quite like that. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. I do believe in life after death. You see, I follow the Pharisees and Jesus. They believe in the resurrection. They believe that on the day God comes to earth to set all things right, that all the faithful will be raised from the dead. You see, we already believe that death was not the end, but I was still scared. Are you scared of death? It's okay if you are. Even if only because we lose our family and our friends, at least for a little while when we die. I won't tell you what happened when I was dead. You'll find out about that one day for yourself. You know, I have wonderful sisters. I was so proud of them when I heard what Martha said to Jesus when he arrived. When Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And she said what any good, faithful Jewish person would say. She said that she knew I would rise again on the last day. She's a real fusspot, Martha. But she has a very strong faith. You know, both of them knew that Jesus was powerful. They both said that they knew he could have stopped me from dying. But Martha was amazing. She knew that Jesus could do more. She even said to Jesus that she knew he could do something even now if he asked for it. You see, all three of us knew that Jesus was something special. We thought he might be like one of the great prophets, another Elijah or Elisha, a real hero and a miracle worker. We'd heard his teaching. You should have heard him. It didn't matter if he was talking to the crowds, chatting over a meal. When he spoke about God, it was amazing. It was like his words were alive. They lived inside us and burned in our hearts. And you should have heard him run rings around those Pharisees and Sadducees. He turned all their tricks against them. He was a great teacher like Moses, maybe better than Moses. You see, there were some of us who thought he might be the Messiah. The Messiah was the special one chosen by God. Just like David, we Jews believed that God would specially choose someone to be the new king. Some of us believed that the Messiah would be a great military leader, that he'd drive out those stinking Romans from our lands and make Israel a great military power. We also believed that it was just going to be a spiritual thing. We'd be changing inside somehow, more faithful to God. That was what we saw in Jesus, the spiritual thing. All of us, maybe even the whole world, maybe even the Romans, could be changing from the inside. That was how God was going to win the victory. And you know what? This is where Martha did us really proud. Because before I was raised from the dead, not after, it was before I was raised from the dead that Martha said, "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Imagine that, a woman being the one of the first people to publicly say that Jesus was the Messiah. I tell you, it puts all us fellas to shame. But as amazing as all that was, I don't think we really understood who Jesus actually was. Even Martha didn't really understand. Oh yes, Jesus on the last day, Lazarus will rise to life. You see, in the end, I think we thought that Jesus was just a man, a great man, a prophet, one especially chosen by God, the Messiah. Even when Martha said he was the Son of God, I'm not sure she really understood. Perhaps she saw the truth, but maybe she was just saying that he was the Son of God, like David. There are places in the scripture where Israel is called God's son. And anyway, when Jesus told her to take the stone away, she just says, "But he'll smell." But then it happened. Jesus raised me from the dead. For 4 days I'd been rotting there in a cave. But Jesus just prays, calls out, and I come out. Why did he do it? Well, I'm not 100% sure, but I reckon Jesus' main reason was to show us that we had him wrong, that he was even greater than we can imagine. Jesus and I knew each other well, you know. I'm sure he was upset by my death. Part of the reason is that for a while at least, we would be separated from each other. He was alive on earth and I was dead. Death does that. It cuts us off for a while from those we love. And that's tough. But I think he was also upset because he felt for my sisters in their grief and pain. I think he might have been looking ahead to his own suffering and death that was imminent. But it was more than all the grief and pain that made him raise me from the dead. It was to show who he really was. That's why what he said to the disciples. It was so you would believe, he said. And that's pretty much what he said in the prayer. This was to happen so that we would believe in him. You see, for me, Jesus is so much more than a great man. He's life itself. New life. He's God come to live among us, full of grace and truth. You know, even after what happened to me, I sometimes forget, or I get so busy that I take Jesus for granted. Then I stop, and I remember what happened to me. And I remember what happened to Jesus on the cross, but also on the third day. I bet you do the same. Things get busy. Life gets hectic. Something goes wrong, and God gets forgotten or pushed into some corner. When that happens, stop and think. Think of my story. And then, if you're like me, you'll see that there's more to Jesus than we could ever imagine. See you in heaven. Amen.
Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us lift our hearts and voices to the Lord in prayer for the church, the world, and all the people in need. Blessed Lord, we live in a valley of deathly shadows. Thank you for Jesus, who calls us by name from our sin, for your Holy Spirit, which guides and sustains us, and for your one holy church, which nurtures us. Help us to firmly believe that Jesus is our resurrection and our life. Lord, in your mercy, send your Holy Spirit to breathe new life into your church. Raise it up to be the living body of Christ. Purify and bless it so that through word and sacrament and by deeds of mercy and forgiveness, it may share your life and grace with all who are held captive to sin, evil, and death. Lord, in your mercy, breathe your Holy Spirit upon your persecuted servants throughout the world. Revive their faith and knit them into an undying fellowship with Jesus and with one another. Breathe your creative spirit into all missionaries of the gospel and into everyone joining Jesus' mission. By their faithful preaching and acts of charity, grant life and salvation to those who walk in the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, in your mercy, breathe your gracious spirit into this congregation so that our worship, words, deliberations, and deeds abound with the fruits of that spirit. Grant the members of this congregation a spirit of love and self-discipline. Fill us with the life of Jesus and give us the will and the strength to share his life with everyone we meet in this challenging time, sharing our faith in you and Christ's love. Lord, in your mercy, breathe your Holy Spirit into all who lead nations, especially our own. Fill them with wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of you, and joy in doing your will. Help them work for the welfare of their people. Breathe your gracious spirit into every heart so that hatred, violence, cruelty, and war ceases throughout the world. We pray especially for our President Donald, our Governor Roy, our city and county leaders, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Lord, in your mercy, Sustain all workers and business owners who suffer loss of livelihood due to shutdowns, quarantines, reduced travel, and other restrictions. Protect and guard all those who must travel, especially transport and delivery service workers who are working longer hours. Lord, in your mercy, breathe your spirit into all who risk their lives to defend liberty and protect others. Keep them faithful, true, and bold. Shield and direct them in perilous situations. Raise and heal them when they fall, and deliver them into a place of safety when their task has ended. Strengthen and encourage those in public health services and the medical profession, caregivers, nurses, attendants, doctors, and all who commit themselves to caring for the sick and their families. Inspire, give insight and hope to all researchers focused on developing effective treatments and a vaccine for COVID-19. Lord, in your mercy, breathe your spirit of life and grace into all who are afflicted by sickness, sorrow, or adversity. We pray especially this day that you come to our aid as COVID-19 continues to spread. Heal those who are sick and support and protect their families and friends from infection. Lord, we also ask that you remember our members and our friends, Burnett, Gary, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Dwight, Karen, Steve, Tina, Randy, Carrie, Libby, Barbara, Mary, our friends and family, Robert, Gary, Cleston, Kenneth, Charlotte, Lynn, Kay, Randy, Tommy, Eva Ray, David, Clyde, Pauline, the Pless family, Brooke, Edwina, family of Dan Parks, Banks, family of Regina Mize Warren, our servicemen and women all over the world, and also for Nancy Curry. As Jesus healed, we ask that these people be healed and also be protected and restored to wholeness. Lord, in your mercy, breathe your life-giving spirit upon all whom death draws near. Grant them serenity, faith, and reconciliation with you and their loved ones. Especially, we plead on behalf of those who die alone, abandoned, unloved, or unnoticed. Bless them with the mercy and grace promised your Son to any who will receive him. Uphold hospice workers and all who care for our dying. Lord, in your mercy. Most holy and gracious Father, we thank you that you receive your faithful servants out of death and into life in Christ. Breathe your Holy Spirit into us. Walk and let us walk as yet by faith. Give us the grace to comfort each other in times of sorrow and to encourage and help each other along life's road. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us all share Christ's grace and peace. Peace be with you. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation, Holy God, speaking, spoken, and inspiring. Bless you, unbind you, and send you in love and in peace. Amen. Now we'll say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.